I want to read you something, stray away from a typical introduction for me, but I want to read you something tonight. It's a poem, I guess, called It's the Soldier. It's written by Charles M. Province. He served in the U.S. Army. And anyway, he wrote this, and it's a powerful thing, I think. It goes like this. It's the soldier, not the minister, who has given us the freedom of religion. It's the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to protest. It's the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It's the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. Pretty powerful words when you think about it. You know, just me personally, and I don't think anybody should ever burn our flag. I don't care what the issue is or what your concern is. There's never a reason to burn the flag. But thank God for the men and women who have served this country. Now, tonight is, you know, we're not celebrating Veterans Day, but I do want all of our veterans to stand up first. You've served our country in the armed forces. You're a veteran. I want you to stand up. Don't you appreciate these men and women? Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. You can be seated. And then some of you, as we celebrate Memorial Day, some of you, you families have paid the ultimate price because a member of your family gave their life in active service. And we want you, if you have a member of your family who died while serving in active service, we want you to stand up. You've paid the ultimate price. A member of your family has died. Yeah. And that, my friends, is what Memorial Day is all about. And so as we're enjoying our festivities and our hot dogs or whatever it is out there, make sure that you remember the real reason that we're celebrating Memorial Day. Many families have paid an ultimate price, and we're grateful for them, and we're grateful for their loved ones. Give them one more big hand. I appreciate that. Thanks, God. Yeah. Tonight, in meditating and on the Word over several days now and asking the Lord what to share, there is a passage of Scripture we haven't been able to get away from, and so we just come tonight. Here's the title of our message. I'll give it to you right away. Following the Inward Witness Will Pay Off Big Time. That's a big, long title, but I wonder if you'd help me with that. Look at somebody and help me with this title. Tell them this. Following the Inward Witness Will Pay Off Big Time. Now look at somebody else and tell them this. Following the Inward Witness, it will pay off big time. Yeah. Go with me to Luke chapter 24, if you will, please. Luke chapter 24. How many know the primary way that God leads us today, the primary way, there are many ways that he can lead us, but the primary way that he leads us is through the inward witness. And I tell you, if we're going to be led by the Lord, we're going to have to be sensitive to him in whatever way he leads us. But if he's revealed himself primarily to lead us through that inward witness, then we need to stay hooked up with him, stay sensitive to him. I want to read from Luke 24. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, and I'm going to read 8 verses of Scripture out of Luke chapter 24 from verses 25 through 53. I'm in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read 25 through 53. You ready? All right. And he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? 27. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. 28. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? So these verses of scripture, my brother and sister, represent a very significant event that occurs right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of his followers were, in turmoil in their faith. They had watched Jesus savagely be beaten mercilessly. They had watched him tortured, and they had watched him crucified. And they knew that he had told them, had taught them over and over again through the scriptures, he taught them that he would suffer such a fate because he was ultimately accepting and paying the price for the sins of the whole world. Is anybody glad that he did that? Is anybody glad he did that for you personally? Yeah. And they were in a state of disillusionment right after right after he was crucified, because by now it's the third day, and some women have gone to the tomb in the earlier part of this chapter, and they came back and reported to the other disciples that the body's not there. He's gone. But they didn't. You would think that would make them believe in all that he had told them, but they didn't immediately believe. They just wondered, well, what's happened to him? What's happened to his body? And then Peter and John rushed to the tomb, and they looked in, and they came back and reported, he's not there, he's gone. You would think that would make them believe that he had risen from the dead, but still they were wondering and in unbelief and not sure what had happened to him. And in the midst of all of that chaos, these two brothers, the scripture here in Luke 24 gives us the name of one of them. His name is Cleopas. Doesn't give us the name of the other brother. They start walking to a town called Emmaus. The Bible says that's 7 miles away. And while they're walking, they're having all of this discussion and debate and banter about what's happened to Jesus. They're not in faith. Their countenance is sad. And while they're walking the 7 miles to Emmaus, Jesus approaches them. But the Bible says they're kept from recognizing that it's Jesus. And Jesus starts walking with them, and he asks them a question. What is it that you guys are discussing? And one of the brothers makes the biggest blunder probably ever made in the history of, you know, of the word. I don't know. But this brother says, he says to Jesus, he said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard of what's happened to Jesus? You the only one here? And he's talking to Jesus, doesn't realize it. I'm sure later he felt like, oh no, I opened my mouth, inserted my foot. We've all done that. But man, can you imagine? Here they are disillusioned. Here they are concerned. Here they are in turmoil. They don't know what's happened to Jesus. They've decided to leave Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. They're walking 7 miles, and now they're walking and talking with the Lord Jesus himself. And he keeps asking them questions. They can't see that it's him. They're kept from recognizing that it's him. The scripture says they don't know it's Jesus. And he keeps asking them question after question, trying to get them to step over into faith. And he is sharing with them scripture after scripture after scripture. The Bible says that he takes them to Moses. You know what it means? When the Bible says he took them to Moses, he took them to the first five. Moses, that name Moses, that's a phrase describing the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He took them to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He explained all the scriptures, the prophetic. Think about that. Jesus took them to the prophetic scriptures and explained to them all of the prophetic scriptures that concerned him. And not only did he do it in the first five books, he took them to the prophets. He took them to Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. He took them to the major prophets, the minor prophets. He took them to the Psalms, those messianic Psalms. And he explained. Now, see, I wouldn't have done it like that. I mean, Jesus wanted them to believe. And you know, I know I'm not Jesus. But if I were Jesus, I would have done it differently. If I were Jesus, I would have showed up in the midst of their unbelief and said, psh, psh, I'm Jesus, believe. Or something like that. Anyway, I might not have gone the psh, psh part. But anyway, I would have just said, believe, you know. I just would have said, I just would have appeared in front of them and said, believe. He did not do that. He did not let them recognize him until they could see him in the word. He made them find him. He made them see with the eyes of faith. And anytime we're trying to find Jesus and we're just looking with natural eyes, with just natural things, with just natural feelings, with just natural senses, anytime we're trying to sense him or touch him, connect to him, and we're just doing it in the natural, you'll never find him that way. No, to connect with the Lord Jesus, he's a spirit. You're going to have to see him through the eyes of your spirit. And he took them to scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture so that they could see and acknowledge and recognize him the same way he expects you and I to see him, acknowledge him, and recognize him. And they walked with him for 7 miles, not having a clue. They were in such unbelief. 7 miles later, they're still in unbelief. You ever been on a long journey like that, a long journey of unbelief? Anybody ever been there? Okay, I got the right crowd. You know, and you would think after he started sharing those messianic scriptures that they would have said, oh, it's Jesus. And then he acts like when they get to Emmaus, Jesus feigns, he fakes like he's going on. He doesn't intend to go on, but he fakes like he's going to go on past. And they tell him, hey, it's so late. You've been explaining all these scriptures to us. Why don't you stop and have dinner? Just stay with us and have dinner. It's late. And he says, oh, well, okay, if you want me to. And he goes in and has dinner with them. And during dinner, he takes the bread. And he breaks that bread. And oh, they must have seen him break bread hundreds, if not thousands of times. And when Jesus broke that bread, they recognized him. And the moment they recognized him, he was gone just like that. And I'll tell you this, when you break the bread of the word, you'll recognize him every single time. In your life, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your situation, God is there. And if you will break the bread of the word, you'll see him right there at your side. And I want to share with you three things in our time tonight, three things the Lord's laid on my heart to share about this story for tonight. And here's the first one. Here's the first thing I want to share with you. The first point. To be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to learn how to follow the inward witness. Think about this. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years of his ministry. They had talked with him. They touched him. They physically had, you know, they were able to touch and encounter and talk with him and walk with him. And all of their dealings with him were in the physical realm where they could see and touch and feel him and touch him. And then the Bible says at the end of this story that he led them. He led them one last time, but this time as he led them, he's blessing them, he's encouraging them, and as he leads them out there, his feet lift off the ground, and he ascends right to heaven in front of their very eyes. And he didn't, he's ascended to heaven, and so now, what he said before he ascended, though, is he said, go back to Jerusalem, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. The Father has promised the Holy Spirit. Go back to Jerusalem. Don't you leave until you're endued with power from on high. And he pointed out to them, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to lead you. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you. Go with me real quick to the book of John, to the book of John 14, real quick. John 14. What's this first point? To be led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to follow the inward witness. You'll have to follow the inward witness. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit as Jesus directed? You're going to have to follow the inward witness. Are there other ways that God can lead? Yes, he can lead us any number of ways. God can lead us any number of ways. But the way that he has said he would mainly lead us, the way that he told us to mainly pay attention to is the inward witness. Why the inward witness? Because the Holy Ghost has come to live inside of you and I. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Everybody say another helper. Yeah, that word helper, it means comforter, advocate, intercessor. It means counselor, strengthener, standby, encourager. Yeah, it means savior. It means the one who delivers from the curse. But Jesus said this, I'm going to give you another helper. And the word another means of the same exact kind as I am. In other words, what he was saying to them is, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send you another helper. But he's not just any old kind of helper. He's the same helper. The same help you got from me is the same help you're going to get from him. The same way you could depend on me, the same way you could depend on him. The same way I'm always there with you, the same way he'll always be there with you. He said, I'm sending you another helper. He's the same kind, the same one. Yeah, aren't you glad about that? Is anybody glad? If you're born again tonight, the mighty Holy Ghost lives in you. Yeah. That's John 14, right? Look at John 14, 26. That was John 14 and 16. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He's a teacher. Yeah. The mighty Holy Ghost is a teacher inside of you. So the question is really, are you a good pupil? Are you and I good pupils? There's no question. There's a teacher inside of you if you're born again. But are we listening to the teacher? Okay, I lost all my amens. I got one amen. I thank you, sister. I got one amen out of that. Look at John 15, 26. John 15, 26. Jesus said this, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Yeah. Look at John 16, 7. John 16, 7. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go away. You're going to have a counselor available to you morning, noon, and night. You're going to have an advisor. You're going to have a standby. You're going to have an advocate. You're going to have an encourager. You're going to have a strengthener available to you 24/7. He's the mighty Holy Spirit, thank God. And so to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. And they weren't able to recognize Jesus because of their doubt and their unbelief. And they were having all kind of conversations, but their conversations were filled with doubt and unbelief. You know, in Psalm 32, verse 8, it says this. God says this in Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. How does he do that? Through the mighty Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that one more time. He said, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. How's he doing that? Through the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Oh yeah, there's an instructor inside of you. There's a counselor on the inside of you. There's a guide on the inside of you. Yeah, he's the mighty Holy Spirit. Over in John 16, 13, he said this at the end of John 16, 13. He said, he will disclose to you what's to come. He'll disclose to you what's to come. Yeah, that's the mighty Holy Spirit. And can I say this? He won't disclose to us everything that's to come. But if we're sensitive to him, if we'll listen, he'll disclose to us some of the things that are to come. Sometimes we're not always ready for what he's ready to show us. Preacher, won't get an amen talking like that. I remember years ago, the Lord tried to talk to me about my sweet mama. And he was telling me my mama was going to go to heaven. She was going to transition to heaven. I refused to accept it. I was too immature. I didn't have the maturity to accept it. I rebuked it. Every time the Lord tried to speak to me about that, I just rebuked it. Think about that. God, the Holy Spirit's trying to encourage me, and I'm rebuking the advice. Anybody ever done that, or just Brother Bill? Oh, I got good company. Thank God. He's a merciful God. He's full of love and compassion. I wasn't ready for it. I remember years later, the Lord began to speak to me about my dad. 2 years before, the Lord spoke to me, my dad was going to go home. This time it was different. And I said, Father, if I can prolong things, I want to prolong it. And the Lord showed me you've helped him along and we've prolonged some things. But now he's got 2 years left and the Lord just comforted my heart. And let me tell you, those 2 years, my dad and I, we always had a good time. We were best friends. Those 2 years, man, we had the best of times. I mean, I flew home in a blinding snowstorm one time, took him just for a steak dinner all the way over in New York. We had the best time eating that steak. I'll never forget that. My dad was so worried about the car. I had a rental car, flew into New York. I had to get back here the next day. And I said, Dad, he said, son, I can't believe you flew all this way. I can't believe you flew in this storm. He said, now you got that rental car. We might tear that car up. We can't go to New York. We can't go to New York. I said, Dad, I took every insurance you can take on the car. I can bring him back a steering wheel. I said, I'm not even worried about it. He said, okay, boy, let's go to New York. We slid all the way to New York. $100 stakes. Oh, man, the smile on his face, priceless. He argued with me. I can't believe you're paying $100 for a steak. You know what I was thinking? I'm going to have the best time with you. He went on a cruise with us. We had a fantastic time. Yeah. Sometimes he'll disclose things to you that are to come. But are you in a position to hear? When the teacher's speaking, are you in a position to hear? Oh, man, y'all slowing me down. Y'all slowing me down. I'm trying to get through this sermon. Listen, let's go a little faster. Proverbs 20:27, it says this, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his being. Romans 8:14, that first one was Proverbs 20:27. You know that. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the spirit himself testifies with our mind. No, with our spirit that we are children of God. Acts 27:10, And he said to them, men, I perceive the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. What was happening there? Paul, moving by the inward witness, was aware that there was danger ahead, following the inward witness. So my first point was to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. My second point is to follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. To be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. But to follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. You know Romans 10:17. It says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That's Romans 10:17. You could say it this way, faith comes from hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing. Because the word says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God, you could say it, faith comes from hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing. What are you saying? As believers, we should be hearing and hearing. Make yourself hear and hear the word, hear and hear the word, hear and hear the word. Why? Faith will be strong in you. Yeah. And so you'll have to keep hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing. In verse 25 of our text in Luke 24, Jesus said this, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Can you see how vitally important the Lord Jesus emphasized the word of God? And if he emphasized the word that much, you and I can emphasize the word no less. To follow the inward witness, you're going to have to master the word, all of us. And down in verse 32, it says, they said to one another, this is afterwards, after Christ appeared to them and they recognized him when he broke the bread. In verse 32, now they're talking. Cleopas and the other brother are talking. They're conferring with one another. And this is what they said to one another in verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within while he was talking to us on the road and he was sharing those scriptures? When he was giving us those scriptures, our hearts were burning on the inside. Yeah. Why were their hearts burning on the inside? Because of the inward witness. It was the inward witness that was confirming that what Jesus was showing them from the word was true. He was teaching them how to be led by the Spirit, but to emphasize the mighty, mighty word of God. And as Jesus emphasized scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, they described it this way. Our hearts were burning on the inside. And so, to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. To follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. When Satan came to Jesus in Matthew 4, and you know that story, and he attacked the Lord Jesus, and every response that the Lord Jesus had is, it is written, it is written, it is written. Yeah. And so, to follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. Finally tonight, to master the word of God, you'll have to meditate in it day and night. I said, to master the word of God, you're going to have to meditate in it day and night. I said to you first, to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have to follow the inward witness. Secondly, to follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. But thirdly, to master the word of God, you'll have to meditate in it day and night. Over in Philippians 4:8 in the Amplified version, Philippians 4:8 in the Amplified says this about how we think and what we think on as believers. Philippians 4:8 in the Amplified. It says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, listen to this now. Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart. That's no casual glance of God's word. There are things that we need to implant in our heart on a daily basis. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Brother Hagin always said this, the greatest enemy to the church is wrong thinking and wrong believing. But I'll tell you what, when we've got the mighty, mighty word of God implanted in our heart, the mighty word will drive out wrong thinking. To master the word, you're going to have to meditate on it day and night. Philippians 4:8 in the Message Bible says this, verse 8, summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true. Filling your minds and meditating. Fill your minds and meditate. Wow. And then Joshua 1:8, you know Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll be successful. How did God give Joshua instruction about being successful? How did God do that? He told him, meditate in the word day and night. Meditate day and night. Finally, Psalm 1, verse 2 says this, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night. There's five ways we get the word of God in us, my brother and sister. We can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it. But the fifth way is meditate it. Meditate on it. You can hear it. You can read it. Study it. You can memorize it. Those are all fantastic. We need that. But the fifth way is so vitally important, and it is the one most often neglected by Christians. Meditating in the word. Meditating in the word. You know, Jesus said in verse 45 of our text in Luke 24, verse 45 says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't that powerful? The Lord opened their mind to understand the scriptures. I want to say this to you in conclusion. 46 says, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. 47, it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. What do you need tonight in your life, my brother and sister? I don't know. I know that life can sometimes catch any of us off guard sometimes. And there are things that the Holy Spirit tells us, things that he warns us of. Thank God that he does that. Any number of times in my life, I'm sure in your life, the Lord has shown me things, protected me, warned me, helped me immeasurably. Every week, every day, he helps me, he helps us in some vital way. But I don't know what you need tonight, but I do know what the Lord sent me here to tell you tonight. And if you follow the inward witness, it's going to pay off for you big time. And when God tells you something, if you'll, what Brother Craig was saying today was so important, if you'll not ignore that, because sometimes God will give us a check about things, and sometimes through the inward witness, he'll show us not to do something. And that is the time, listen, heed and obey that. Whenever God shows you not to do something, that's, you ought to rejoice. Don't act like a dark cloud hits you when God says don't do something. You ought to rejoice because God's protecting you from something. I remember one time I went to buy a car. I was going to buy a car. I just paid my car off. I was going to buy another car and had pre-approved loan. Going to buy another car. This is years ago. I was going to buy another car. And then as I was praying, the Lord showed me, don't do that. I was going to buy a black car with a CD player. The Lord gave me a thought. Just have your car painted black. Have your car's paid off. Just pay it off. Make the last payment. Paint it back and have them put a CD player in it. And I did that. You know what? The Lord took us to a whole nother level financially because I obeyed the inward witness. Now, just recently, I bought a car, Lord, but on the inside, oh man, God gave me peace. Go change your car out. Go get a different car. Yeah. I was praying about my car, and the Lord had me get up. He said, get up right now and go. I didn't hear a voice down in here. Get up right now. I'm looking for a BMW. Get up right now. Go over to the BMW dealer. Got in the car. After I prayed in the spirit about 30 minutes, got in the car, went over there. On the way over there, the spirit of God came on me so strong. Down in here, this is what I knew. Your car is sitting on that lot. I wasn't looking locally. I was looking online. Last two cars I bought were online. I had them shipped to me, you know. I was going to buy a car online. On the way there, Lord told me, your car is sitting on that lot. 10 minutes later, found my car on that lot. What are you saying? Following the inward witness will pay off big time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction and flow of your Holy Spirit. And we know that you can take the same word and use it differently in each listening ear. It was the Spirit who inspired it, and the Spirit who uses it to encourage, to correct, to instruct, to help, to teach, to train. And so, Father, take your word, help your people as we've endeavored to yield ourselves to you, as we've shared what you laid upon our heart, to be led by the Holy Spirit. You'll have to follow the inward witness. We've said that to the people. To follow the inward witness, you'll have to master the word of God. We've said that to the people. To master the word of God, you'll have to meditate in it day and night. We've said that to the people. Now, Father, use your word, apply it in our lives, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go tonight, if you're here and you have never received Jesus into your life, or if you're here and if you were to die tonight, God forbid, and you're not sure, you're not absolutely 100% certain you would go to heaven, if that's you, if you don't know for sure you would go to heaven, if you're here, you've never received Jesus, or you're not sure you would go to heaven, or you're here, but you know you're not living right for Christ, you know you're not living right, well, get your eyes off of people, let God help you. If you get your eyes on God and if you'll listen to him, oh man, he'll help you immeasurably. Before we go, lift your hand. You want prayer for any of those things. You're here and you say, I'm not born again, but I want to be. I'm not living for Christ, but I want to get it right with him. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died. Anybody here? I don't want to miss anybody. Don't want to miss anybody. Here. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else here? And you fit that. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you so much. Yeah. 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 God wants to help you. God, let me tell you this. God loves you so much. And if you'll listen to him, he will help you. He will save you, strengthen you, forgive you. He's going to touch you right now tonight. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to let me pray for you. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want you just to stand right up boldly on your feet. I want you just to stand right up boldly on your feet. You had your hand raised, or you should have had your hand raised. One, I just want you to stand up on your feet. Forget about people. Two, God's going to help you right now. Three, just stand right up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. And I want you to get out of the aisle. Come down here and meet me. Let me pray for you. Come right down here. God's going to help you right now tonight. Come right down here. God's going to help you tonight. Praise God. Come right on down here. Going to do just what we said. Going to pray for you. Praise God. That's right. Just be bold. We love you. We love you. Nobody's judging you. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Nobody's judging you. Come on down here. There's room at the altar. Come on down here. If you know that's you, God's speaking to you. Don't ignore him. Don't shrug him off. That's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. God's trying to help you. Let him help you tonight. Oh, but if you'll let him help you, he will bless your life. He will honor your obedience. Praise God. Thank you for coming. Glory to God. Anybody else want to come? The altar's open. Anybody else want to come? God is saving. He's healing. He's delivering tonight. All I want you to do is lift one hand to the Lord. That's your way of saying, I'm coming to God. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to the Lord. Father, you see this honest hearts, honest people, honest hearts, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless every single one of them right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to say this prayer out loud after me. In congregation, you say it too. Father, I come. In the name of Jesus, I give you my heart. I surrender my life. I acknowledge that Jesus died for me. He suffered for me. He was crucified for me. But he was raised again on the third day for my salvation. I accept your forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, come into my life restore my life, fill my life with yourself, and I will follow you all the days that I live. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want you to look at me just for a second. This is Reverend Paul. He's the head of our prayer room tonight. He's got some free materials. And on top of that, they're going to answer any questions that you have and make sure that you get everything you came for tonight. He's not going to keep you very long, but he wants to make sure he answered all your questions. If you'll go with him, he won't keep you very long. Go with him right now. Let's thank all of these for coming down. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's pray for them as they go. Let's pray. Let's pray. We don't need to watch them. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for every single one going to the prayer room right now. And we thank you, Father, for just blessing them tonight, for salvation, for rededication. Father God, we thank you for directing their steps. We thank you for helping them tonight, whatever it is they need. We thank you for health, for healing. We thank you, Father God, for deliverance, whatever it is they need. We thank you that your mighty power will fall in that prayer room, Father God, and they'll have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and they won't leave here like they came. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. We honor you and bless you. Praise God. Well, our prayer room workers are coming now, if there are any left out here. And we have come on down here, brother. We got one prayer room worker left. Come on, brother, we're gonna put you to good work. If you have a prayer request and you're a guy, come on down here to this brother and he'll pray with you. And if you're a girl and you want a lady, you want prayer, then going back there to the... Oh, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. She will be right down over here. And when we dismiss in a moment, ladies come over here and guys come over here. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. So we thank you so much for being here tonight. We want everybody to have a great Memorial Day weekend. We want you to remember to keep our pastors in prayer. Remember, the church offices are closed on Monday, but somebody's available to meet your needs should you have an emergency. Other than that, you'll be here Wednesday night for Hour of Power. If all hearts and minds are clear, then we are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.